Thank the Lord to be here today. Thank the Lord that I believe, Brother Tommy, you were that one lost sheep, but I was that one lost sheep too. Thank the Lord that he didn't look and say he has enough, right? He wanted to come for all of us. And thank the Lord that he came for us and he went out searching for us. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer before we start the message. Dear Lord, as we come to this moment, dear God, we are so thankful for the way you have fed our souls, and you're so faithful to do it in each time, dear God. Lord, we're praying that by your Spirit you would take over here, Lord, and you would guide and direct and let everything be done according to your plan, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to talk about what it takes. What it takes. You've heard my testimony maybe a little earlier in this meeting. I honestly think it was yesterday morning, but I might have that incorrect. That I'm so thankful that the Lord is able to make us his children. That he's able to save us and forgive us and cleanse us for what we have done, but he's able to turn us into the children of God. And, you know, that's not something that's just, I like to think of it this way. He didn't select me because I was the perfect child of God. He selected me because he loved me and he cared. When I was yet a sinner, he gave his life for me to save me. And he has a purpose for me. He didn't save me to just be myself and go on and do my thing and for me just to apply the word like I think it ought to be applied in my life. The Lord has something greater than that. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. All right. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, we want to read here, and this is where the Pharisees caught it. This whole chapter, really. We're just going to pick a few verses out of it. But you know, the Pharisees caught it. If you study out, yes, there maybe was some hypocrisy there and things that had come up. But really, it came from a point where they were applying the Word of God the way they felt like applying it. Where they felt like applying it, adding to it when they felt like adding to it. And they weren't really leaving a whole lot of room for God to work in their lives. And therefore, they weren't leaving a whole lot of room to recognize when God was trying to work in their lives. And it goes on down here, and in the 26th verse of this chapter, it says, "Thou blind Pharisee." Now, right now, I can tell you, this is not somebody I want to end up like. This is an example of what not to do. Okay, so as we read these scriptures, realize this is the opposite of the way we should set our hearts. So it says here, "Thou blind Pharisee, clean first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." And when the Lord first gave me this message, started bringing it to my mind, I just saw a picture of a cupboard of just clean little maybe china cups and all. You've been in maybe some houses, maybe you have some where they have their china displayed and you've got all these dishes that are just so clean. And you can look at them, and in most cases that's about the only way you'll see those dishes. You'll see them clean. But there was something it took to keep them clean. And if you think about maybe true silverware, you don't just set it up. There's some things that goes into keeping that looking like what it's supposed to look like. And there's a cleansing that goes there. When I have a cut, it's good to look on that and see that clean and pretty. But what's even better is to know I can use it, because whoever had it, if I was to pick up that clean looking cup and look inside it, and it was just dirty, maybe there were some spider webs or a few dead flies in it or something like that, I think that would change my perception real quick of that cup and my desire to use it or think on it or in any way. There's something that needs to be done first. And you know, Lord help us. We don't ever want to find ourselves in a place as a people or as individuals where what we're doing is like the Pharisees. We're shining up these cups and just making them look so good on the outside and ignoring where the real issue is. Now, the Lord wants His cups to look good. If you notice what it says here, He wants them to look like they should from the outside. This is not the point that they should be dirty out there, but that we should realize that it starts from the inside of that cup. That's where the cleansing has to happen. And you know, if we're sitting here today, I want you to understand, especially maybe if you're new in your walk with the Lord, I want you to know that it's okay if you have some things outwardly that you're struggling with. Don't get caught in those things. Look to the inside and allow God to begin to work in you, and He will take care of those things. And that is the way that He wants to do it. That is what it takes. If you're looking and you feel like there's struggles in your life and you feel like you can't get the outside of the cup to look like what you need it to look like, don't get sidetracked and begin to try to focus on that and try to make it match up just because it needs to look right and all these things. Recognize the need. Look to the inside. Let the Lord work and realize that's where He's going to work to truly clean the cup, because you can pretty it up all you want to. But if we haven't done this, we haven't done what it takes. The cup is not ready to be used. It's not where it needs to be. It's not ready for service. We have to clean up the inside. That's where the Lord wants to work. All right? It says earlier in this chapter here, in the fifth verse, it speaks of these Pharisees, and it says, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men." That is a trap that the devil wants to get us in, young or old, where all their works. Now, we think about maybe just the presentation maybe in the church or something like that. But this is dealing with the everything about who you are. These people had decided that what they needed to do was try to make sure all the things that men could see were what they needed to be or what they wanted them to be, instead of saying, "Lord, work inside of me. Help my heart to match up to these things." All their works they do for to be seen of men. Don't let the devil trap you into that. If he can get you so focused on the outside that that's all you're worrying about, that's where your focus is, then he's got you in the spot where what you're really doing is you're falling into the trap of worrying about doing all your works for what men see, not for what God sees. You're replacing the importance of God with the importance of men. And let me promise you, so we don't get any misunderstanding, the only way to truly clean up the outside of that cup is to have God as the most important. To have Him as your focus. Have what He sees. All that thing, maybe something needs to be done about it. But I'm telling you what, the thing in your heart is even more important. It's even more dangerous to just ignore it and allow it just to stay where it is. Do not get trapped in doing all your works to be seen of men. Let the Lord look inside of you and work. Luke 17. Luke 17 and the 20th verse. And you know, I remember... I am been living for the Lord, been 27 years since I got saved the last time, so I know I don't remember everything perfectly. 44 years old, I know that I probably don't remember everything. But I remember wanting to people to know that I loved the Lord. And I remember the Lord dealing with me saying, basically, in effect, "You want that to be seen? Then let this process happen in your life. And they will see it. You don't have to worry about trying to make sure they know that you love the Lord." You know what? If you love the Lord tonight, the Lord knows it. And other people might not. And they might not for a while. But if you really love Him and you really let Him work, then they will know it with time. They will realize the love you have for the Lord. There's no way to hide it. The Lord will make it happen so that it's just evident in your life. This Luke 17 and 20 says, And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. Now there's something we have to recognize right here. Okay, when the Pharisees ask this question, remember they're trapped in doing all their works to be seen of men. They're looking for an earthly kingdom. They're looking for something to be seen, to be touched, that they can see. So that's what they're asking. But Jesus knows the true kingdom of God is not something you touch. So his answer is not applying to that external kingdom that they're asking for, but for the true kingdom of God. They didn't know quite what they were asking, but they asked a good question. So it says, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. This word means ocular evidence. Most of us know the word ocular stands for eyes. The kingdom of God is not something that comes by seeing it. That's not where we look to find. We will see evidence as time goes on. But that's not how it comes in our life, by things we can see. It's coming by something that we can't touch. It goes on to say, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. If you're trying to make it happen based on what you can see, you're missing where the kingdom really is. Because that's not how the kingdom comes, and that's not where it is. This morning we rejoice, we sit together, and there's many people here who have let the Lord into their life, and we see some physical evidence of it, don't we? We do see something, but that's not how it happened. We're seeing that outside of the cup, by all these cups that have been cleansed inside and have let the Lord work inside of them by His Spirit. I'm giving a little hint, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but they've let the Lord work inside of them, and now we're seeing the evidence of that. Remember He said the outside will be clean too. You'll begin to see things because the inside is clean. And you know, there's a little bit of a burden here that we not try to mimic it. We don't want to be mimics. I don't care to be a mimic. I want to have the real thing. I want to come and see. I want to know it for myself. I want to have it for myself. And the Lord wants you to have it. We're going to read some verses about it. But to the littlest child here that can hear me and understand anything I'm saying, the Lord wants you to have it just as much as the person that's been walking this way for 70 years. I don't know how the oldest person here, I won't even ask you to identify yourself, but however long that's been, the Lord wants you to have it just as bad as them. That's right. But he doesn't want you trying to mimic it. He wants to give it to you for real. And it starts on the inside. It takes something more than you just taking the Word of God and trying to match up to it in your life. It takes something more than that. Alright, so it says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. You can't get around it. You can't go over it. You might as well just go through it. That's the only way there. There's no other way to get it and to be a part of it. Thank the Lord, and to have it working in you. That's what the real joy is. Not just to say, oh, I'm a part of the kingdom of God, but what it means when the Lord's working inside of you and the changes He's making and the way He's delivering you and He's helping you. And you can't do that. You can't mimic that. You can't mimic the love. You can, but it doesn't match up. It's obvious that it doesn't match up. It's not worth trying to mimic it. It is worth trying to dig deep and let God work it in your life and make those changes that it takes to truly put that there. In Jeremiah 31, and the 31st verse says here, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. A new testament. A day that the prophets looked for and longed for to be a part of this day. You know, I think it's so interesting that he said that they didn't just say, they long to be in heaven. And I'm sure they did. They longed for that day. But they were speaking of this day we live in. There's something more here than just being through the ages when they just had the law and they just applied it as best they could in their life and did their best to follow it and obey it. There's something more for us than just that. That was what they were supposed to do. And you know what? We're supposed to still follow it. But God gave us something even better to go with it. That now the righteousness of the law could be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That there's somebody else that's got to come in and take over in your life for this to happen. You can't do it on your own. It takes something more than that. Jeremiah 31, a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them up out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. This is not just beautiful poetry. This is not just metaphors and just wonderful words. This is the Lord saying what He wants to do. This is the day we live in. He was talking about us. All who've come after Jesus made the sacrifice. He fulfilled the sacrifice for us so that this could happen. He's talking about us. I will put my law in their inward parts. Not them trying to, you know, who they are and trying to match up somehow externally. But now, the God of heaven, if we are willing to say, we'll do it that way. You know, what we'd rise up, no, I want to have this external kingdom. We're not willing sometimes to let, so as long as it's external, then I have control of it to some degree. And they were looking for a kingdom that came and set up and on earth that everybody saw. This kingdom, we have to let go. We have to let go and let God take over. But if we were willing to do that, to believe in the Lord, that this is His plan for me, and to allow Him to say, Lord, take over. Let me submit myself to You. Let me humble myself. Let me be the living sacrifice that You can take over. Then He says He will write His law on our inward parts, where our actions were coming from. When we were trying to mute them down and just mimic. No, He said, no, we're going to get past that. And we're going to get down in there where it's all coming from. And we're going to start changing who you are. Thank the Lord. He didn't save us because we were the perfect child of God. He saved us to turn us into the perfect child of God. That's what He wants in your life. That's what He's working towards in your life. Now, that's not happening overnight. But the Lord, that's what His purpose is. And it only happens when we allow Him to take over and begin to write on our insides what His law is, and to write it in their hearts, and then He will be their and will be their God, and they shall be my people. He knew from the beginning that that whole old covenant thing, it was all a schoolmaster to bring us to this time that we have in the Lord. This is what His plan was from the foundations of the earth. This is what He was looking for, a people. This is the chosen. This is the people. Many are called, but few are chosen. It's not that He chose you because you were, there's one that's the perfect child of God. No, He sent out the call and we answered and then we allow Him to work in life. And this is who He's chosen to be His people, is the people who allow God to work in Him. Anyone can be it. Anyone in the whole world, whether they know wonderful things that have been taught out of the truth or where they have no clue about that. But if they're willing to hear the call of the Lord and answer it and say, Lord, take over in my life. We don't have to work out all the details and figure out just how the Spirit works. We just have to know we have to let Him work in our life and have to desire Him and desire to be what the Lord wants us to be and be willing to lay down who we are. And if we are, then God, He will be our God. And then we will be His people. It's right after where He said, only the ones who have let me write in the inward parts, who let me take control of their heart, that's my people. There's no way to mimic that. And just anyone who comes another way is a thief and a robber. This is the only way. This is what it takes. All right? He goes on to say here, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. All of us. You know what? If you're young, there's some wisdom sitting around you. And it can be a real blessing in your life. And you're not going to be that overnight. But if you're willing to start now and let the Lord, you take over, you can know Him just like that person knows Him. You can know Him personally for yourself. And then as He works in your life, one day you'll be that person sitting there that can have that wisdom to share with the young one coming along who's starting out on their journey. This isn't something we just try to stamp and just make happen. This is the Lord working inside of us through His Spirit that brings us to these places in Him. All right? They will all know me from the least of them unto the greatest, saith the Lord. Well, we've kind of touched on it, but we set it up to talk about the vehicle as to how this happens in our life. And I believe we've cemented it that it's not us deciding, it's not just words, it's not just us deciding to do it, but there's a God in heaven who has a way to get inside of us if we allow Him and to begin to work. And that's what we want to talk about. John, the 4th chapter. The 4th chapter and the 19th verse. The story was read some the other night. I'm going to pick up here towards the end, in the 19th verse. And the woman by the well, the Samaritan woman, after she had talked with Jesus for a little bit, the woman saith unto Him, Sir, I perceive that Thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And as we read through this, you will see that those two words, and if you want to take this study on and this message on and study it out more and think about it, you'll find that the spirit and truth are just, they're linked. They're just tied together. They work together. Okay? So the spirit and truth, the Lord is looking for people who worship Him in spirit and truth. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's a place where Jesus was praying in the garden, and He said, sanctify them. We'll read this verse in a minute. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. When we see the word truth, it's speaking of the word of God. And the Spirit uses that in your life. Not you. You read it, and you study it, and you search it out, and you let the Spirit use it in your life to allow you to worship God in truth and in spirit. All right? And so it says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. The spirit and truth. You know, there's been a lot of damage done because people have tried or have set their hearts on worshiping the Lord in truth. There's been a lot of damage done because people have set their hearts on worshiping the Lord in truth. And you can read truth, but you cannot apply it in your life or in the life of anybody around you without the Spirit. Because they are, I wish I could get the word. This word inexplicably or I can't quite get. Thank you. I think that's it. Yes, inextricably. You can't separate them. You can't divide them apart. You can't use one without the other. You can't run off in the Spirit today. Say, oh, I'm following the Lord in the Spirit and just going off and running out and doing whatever. That's not how the Spirit works. If that's what you're doing, you're not following the Spirit of God. You know, but you can't just read the Word of God and just apply it yourself, because that's how damage happens. That's how we become all the things God doesn't want us to be, when we're doing it on our own. When we're using our own wisdom and our own mind to apply this word, we start becoming all the things that God doesn't want us to be. We start becoming judges. We start becoming heavy taskmasters. We start becoming, and to each other, but to ourselves. Yes. To ourselves. We start weighing ourselves down with burdens too great to be borne, instead of letting the Lord do it. Because you remember, do you think the Lord, is that how the Lord works? Does He just drop burdens on us and just say, there, figure out what to do with it? No. We can look back to the Old Testament and see He never was that way. You look, I say sometimes, if you want to know the personality of God, read the Old Testament. Don't get lost in all the things trying to figure out everything. Just see the personality of who He was. And one of the things you'll find out is He was somebody who led gently. When He was leading them into Canaan land, He said, I'm not going to give you the land all at once. It would overcome you. The beast would overcome you. So we're going to give it to you little by little. But you're to go in and take it over. You're not to sit down or stop until you do. The Lord is... We don't know how to do it. He knows how to lead us along gently and to work with us like we need to be. Here in Ephesians 6, in the 17th verse, it says, telling us to put on the armor of God, and it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, there's a commandment in this verse. I don't know if we pick up on it or not, but there's a commandment in this verse, so to speak, to us as children of God. And it's where it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is not my sword. And yes, that applies to the way I interact with other people, but I'm even more concerned what the real burden is about how us individually are successful in our walk with the Lord. And if I take the sword and just try to apply it, I'm about to get cut bad. I'm going to hurt myself. I need the Lord to help me. You know, when I see something I don't understand, I don't start swinging and just try to see what I can get with it. You're going to get hurt. You're going to cut off. You know, my ear is very valuable. I hear out of it. But that's a good way to cut off your ear, so to speak, spiritually. It's a good way to lose some things that you need in your life. To see something that you see in the Bible and then just start swinging and start trying to apply it to your life. What we do when we see something in the Bible that we don't understand or we feel is checking our heart, we take it to the Lord and we humble down before Him and tell Him, Lord, take over by Your Spirit. Show me where this is coming from in my life. There's things deeper than what I can see. And if I'm swinging, I might actually get a little bit of this weed or something that's in my life, but I'm not going to get the root. I'm not going to get the root. But Lord, You know Your root. And You had this whole plan from the beginning of foundation that You would send Your Spirit. So there was something that could reach down in my life and touch to the deepest issues. And then have the power to root that thing out by the Word of God in my life, to apply it correctly. This is surgical. There's surgical skill that has to happen here. And we don't have that understanding. We haven't gone through those classes. The Spirit of the Lord is who's done that. We must have Him in order to do this successfully and safely and correctly and with good results in our life, in our very own personal life. And it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, over in Hebrews, it talks about this sword. Let's turn over there to Hebrews 4. And this, we're going to read the 12th verse, but he's talking about laboring to enter into that rest. This is what he's talking about. That place where the Lord is working in our life, and that's bringing rest. If I'm swinging a sword around, it's not a very restful place. But the Lord can do it in a way that brings peace and spiritual rest into our life. And so it says here, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. I promise you, if you read the verse that you feel checking you, and you stop, and you get down before the Lord and you pray and you ask Him by His Spirit to help you understand to discern what's going on here, to divide soul and spirit, bone and marrow, joints and marrow, see the thoughts and intents. Lord, you know my heart. Lord, search my heart. See how this really applies. You're going to get a lot different result than if you see that scripture and you just start trying to live up to it yourself without taking it before the Lord. It'll be like Joshua at the Battle of Ai. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, there's another city over here. Those cities were representative of these kind of things in our life spiritually today. That's what they stood for. All right. So Joshua saw another one. Oh, here's something else over here that needs to be dealt with. Okay, let's go. And it was a little thing, and it beat them back, and they lost lives because of it. But what's interesting is when they came back and he stopped and he asked the Lord, the Lord's like, well, it's simple. Here's the issue. Go take care of this and you'll have that victory. And they did. They took care of the issue and they had the victory. That's what we need to do in our life. That's the type of what we're supposed to do spiritually. Lord, help us to stop and put it before the Lord and seek Him and submit down before Him and allow Him to do the work in our life. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Let Him take control of it. You know, there's a certain age where every boy needs a knife. There's a certain age where every boy doesn't need a knife. Right? Yes. We're to be as children. The Lord has the knife. Let Him use it in your life. There's for the rest of our lives, if we're going to enter into heaven, it said we're supposed to be like children. Well, this is one of those ways where the Lord has the knife and He's doing the work in our life. Let's turn to John 17. The 17th verse here. And part of the lesson today, the message today, however we want to say it, remember, is that the Word and the Spirit work together. You can't follow the Spirit. We don't need to start trying to make the Spirit happen. We don't follow just the Word. We allow them both to work in our life. Here it's speaking of, it says sanctify them, which sanctify means to make holy, purify, or consecrate. Sorry, I said that wrong. Consecrate. Okay, that's who we're supposed to be, right? That's one of the main doctrines of the Church of God, right? Is that we live in holiness before the Lord. We live in purity. We're consecrated. All right? Well, the Lord says, yes, that's true. That's true. But here's how it's done. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctification is the process of the Holy Spirit. It accomplishes what it accomplishes by using the Word of God in our life. It doesn't just do its thing and the Word's over here and you're like, okay, let me get over here and let the Spirit do His thing. Let me get over here and let the Word do its thing. They work together on me. That's how it works. It's not me in control of them. I need a little of this, need a little of this, need a little of this. No. They work together to make me what I need to be. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them in the world. For their sakes I sanctify them myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Neither pray I for these alone, speaking of his disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Not just them, but everybody. This applies to all of us. This wasn't just an apostle thing. It wasn't just for the disciples. It started with them. It included them. And it includes all of us. There's none from the least to the greatest. No one has a handle and gets to a point. They say, well, you know what? I can handle this sword now. To the day I die. If I die at 99 years old, 105, whatever I die at, the sword is still the Lord's. For me, but for any way He might use it in my life to assist you. That is the Lord's. There's not someone who gets to a point where He takes that over. That is strictly for the Lord and for His Holy Spirit. John 16 and 5 says, And this again is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And the time was coming close for him to be crucified. And he says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me. None of you asketh, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." Let me just tell you something. If Jesus couldn't do it in our life in the flesh, I can't do it and you can't do it for yourself or for me either. We need the Holy Spirit. We must have it. Okay? So he said, "For it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter," it says another place, "which is the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And it goes on and describes those three things. But down in the 12th verse, it says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he heareth, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Let's look in John 14. All right. 14th chapter in the 15th verse. And it says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." This work that the Lord's doing in our life is to apply his word to us. And we're to keep what's done in our life and guard it. All this, you know, we're letting him do the work. He's got to do the work, but then we guard it. Once he's done it in our life, we don't just say, "Oh, that was great," and run on our merry way. He's done it to change us, to create in us his righteousness, and we are to guard it and keep it and follow it. It's to be valued in our life. But it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, cometh not with observation. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." I just go back to the message the other night, come and see. There's no other way around this. Come and see. Come and let the Spirit do the work in your life. Let him take over. And then see how he cleanses the cup, how he readies it for service, how he sets you apart through God's word, using it in your life. You know, it says in, and let me just tell you, just thinking over the work of the Spirit, we just can't go where he can go. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't get. And you know, even if I could somehow reach in and touch my heart, it's not really my physical heart that this is talking about. It's something I can't touch. I can't see. Only God sees, and only God can do the work in us. We have to have him. We have to have his Spirit. It says in Acts 19, let's turn over there and read a verse here in closing. Acts 19, the first verse. It says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" So that's my question to you this morning. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Look, don't let the devil battle you. It's a very simple thing. I'm sorry, I know some people have heard me use this, but it seemed like God's bringing me back to this, so I'm going to share it again. The only way around simple is complicated. The devil tries to make this a complicated thing in our lives and to discourage us and make us feel like, what is the deal here? It's a very simple process. In one place, Jesus said, "If you know how to give good gifts to your children, will the Father in heaven not so much more give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" You know, sometimes we want it to be some grandiose thing, or we're looking for things. We can get sidetracked by emotionalism, which is a bad thing. It's a spirit that we don't need to deal with. But my point in bringing all that up is to make, just to bring you back to how simple it is. If you want the Lord to work in your life, ask Him. Ask Him. In sincerity, ask Him and be willing to listen and let Him apply the Word in your life and make those changes in you that cleanse the inside and outside of the platter and keep it clean for Him, ready for service, set you apart. You pray for me that I'll be faithful.